Well, good morning, everyone. Yep. So great to hear all your fellowship this morning. A lot of people have been gone, but are back, and Wow, I don't remember the last time we had that much chatter in the morning, but it is an exciting day, and it's great to be in the house of the Lord. Why is it so exciting? Well, we've got a special, our very own pastor in training this morning, Noah Mason, who is going to bring to us the message from God's Word, and he looks great in a suit and tie, and I think he's going to do a wonderful job this morning. I'm sure you will, Noah, and we'll be praying for you as you do the message this morning. Pastor Kurt is doing pulpit supply for, some of you remember, Dr. Rich Schmidt. So he's helping Dr. Rich Schmidt out in his church down in Union Grove. It's great to see Phil Lemansky back from college, and his soon-to-be wife, Kira. And so welcome back. Phil also brought along one of his friends from Pennsylvania, Tyler. And he will be here for the summer helping out Matthew at his glass company. So I hope it won't be as much of a pain as it sounds like, but Matt. So I'm sure it'll be a great time. Announcements are conveniently located in your bulletin. Because Pastor Kurt is out tonight, there's no evening service. A reminder for the ladies that are part of the Ladies in Fellowship Together group. You're to bring a picture of your mom, put your name on the back of it, and get it to Gail Green if you're interested in the meeting on the 27th, Thursday the 27th. Members, our next membership meeting is going to be next Sunday night at 6 p.m. Okay, so try to remember that. Just going over some financials, and I think the big ticket item is the downstairs remodel. We're looking forward to doing some drywalling down there, and we're getting close to making a decision. Teens, your canoe trip is fast approaching. You don't want to be left on shore. Make sure your permission slip has been filled out, and you can put that in the office, in Maria's office, so that we have a record that it's okay for you to be canoeing. And that's coming up on Saturday, May 29th. And the last one is a little awkward. A number of you like to use the giving envelopes, and the way that it works here at Emmanuel Bible Church, we have a financial secretary that does her best to keep track of the giving that you do through the envelope system. Sometimes our counters and our ushers, if you don't have your correct number on here and have filled out the amount, that makes it harder for our financial secretary to account for your gift. So if you need a statement for tax purposes at the end of the year, we would like to, you know, work with you to do that. By having an envelope number, you can remain anonymous to the counters, which, you know, we feel better about. So I guess if you really want to give anonymously, you can just give cash. But we try to acknowledge all the gifts that come in through as a check. You've got a question? You got your envelope up. Right. Yeah, there's a lot of these in the hymn book rack. So that probably wasn't all that clear. Right. Yeah, if you do use the pew, you need to put your name on it. All right. That is the last of the announcements. Yes. Okay. Oh, Tuesday. Yes, I did forget about Tuesday. Thank you, Joe. On Tuesday morning, men's breakfast at 8:30, and the witnessing Witness Support Group, open to all, 6 p.m. Tuesday right here at Emmanuel Bible Church. So we got a busy week again. let's move into our prayer time. In this connected world today, Pastor Kurt has sent me a text message for the Stove family. Let me just read that. This is from McKenna Stold. Hey, Pastor Kurt, this is McKenna, a friend of mine, and Taylor, also a Stold, a Lutheran high school senior, was reported missing yesterday. Our family won't be at church because we're going on a community search party for him. And he asked if we could just mention this during the prayer time this morning. So we'll pray for the Stold family and for the missing person. That's out today. Our family of the week is Jim and Kathy Pope. I talked to them last night about 5 o'clock, and they were at that time about 45 minutes from his dad in Mississippi. They had been driving for 15 hours, and they were a little punchy, but that's to be expected. They're just thankful for God's blessing, and they just continue to ask for prayer to be used for God's glory, to share the gospel for the lost, and have a great time of fellowship with Jim's dad. So we'll pray for Jim and Kathy. Our missionaries of the week are the Hearst. They are back home in Bolivia and having another. They are so glad to be back in Bolivia. They're busy teaching classes 4 days a week. And normally they have a longer break, but with COVID going on, it's still a big issue down in Bolivia. Cam has got some things to do to prepare for an eight-week module that he's never taught, and that's going to be hard. And they're in desperate need of some staff for next year. They also ask for stamina and wisdom in their leadership positions. Lastly, and then there was one other thing with the radios. And Santiago is part of the Quechua Bible School, and so he needs a partner. Lastly, this morning we want to pray for the persecuted saints. There's the Christians that are in danger in Myanmar. Since the military coup on Myanmar earlier this year, Christians have been under increased pressure from the military to cooperate with those in power. Many locals are currently at risk of forced enlistment in the army. We think it's bad to sometimes have to wear masks, but this is a whole other level, right? Open Doors partner Lewin said, in a remote village, a pastor is leading a small church. Last week, the village chief was asked to recruit 30 men for military in their village. Now the believers, including the pastor, are hiding in the forest. Worship service was suspended, and they don't know how long before this will be over. So please pray that the believers will stand strong in their faith, and non-believers, many are frustrated and hopeless at the moment, even with their own faith, that they would come to the knowledge of the living God. So let's open our service with prayer this morning and bring this before the throne of God. Father, we are so grateful to be in your house today, so thankful for the work that you have done here at Emmanuel Bible Church and are doing, thankful for those that gave up their Saturday morning yesterday to spend extra time and attention on your house, Lord, and cleaning, and it does look amazing this morning. Father, we just want to remember Pastor Kurt as he is preaching this morning in Union Grove, and pray that the word would be received well there, and to just give Kurt and Maria a good time of fellowship with those believers, and safety in coming back. And Lord, we thank you for Noah's willingness to bring the word to us this morning. And Father, what an encouragement this young man is to Emmanuel Bible Church. Lord, we know at times that when you step into the pulpit here, it can be nerve-wracking. And we just pray for your grace, Lord, and for peace upon Noah's heart as he brings the word this morning. Father, we thank you for our family of the week. We thank you for Jim and Kathy, for what they are enjoying right now on a trip down to Mississippi to see Jim's dad. And Father, they are so grateful for the work that you are doing in their lives and so grateful to be able to visit Jim's dad. So we ask that their fellowship time be sweet and that they would just enjoy the time that they could be together. And we'll look forward to when they can come back again to see us. Father, we pray for our missionaries of the week, for Cam and Mary Hurst in Bolivia. They are so happy to be back in Bolivia. And Father, you've brought them through some health struggles, but you've given to them all that is necessary for them to carry on their mission there in Bolivia. We pray that you would continue to give them the time necessary, Lord, the resources to study your word. Father, as Cam prepares this 8-week course that he's never done before, just give him wisdom and understanding, and may it go all according to your plan. Lord, as is the case in many missions operations, they are in desperate need for more staff. They're losing one staff couple permanently, and if they don't get any more teachers, they won't be able to start classes in February. So, Lord, we do pray that you would supply. I'm not sure if those are local indigenous people that they're looking for or others outside to fill that gap. And, Father, we pray lastly for the missionaries, for the persecuted saints in Myanmar. Lord, it is difficult to understand the level of persecution that they are facing. If we here at Emmanuel Bible Church would all of a sudden, the government would come in and say we've got to supply 30 people to go and fight. Lord, those are difficult things. So we pray, Lord, that you would be their portion and pray that you would give them the wisdom, Lord, and that they would, as believers, stand up to the attacks upon them. So, Father, we do pray for them and ask your protection upon them. And then, Lord, lastly, one more thing. The Stolb family has a friend. The girls have a friend called Taylor, who is reported missing now in the Sheboygan area. Father, he's a senior at Lutheran High School. And we do pray, Lord, that whatever has happened, that as the Stolb family searches for him, they would be able to find him along with the rest of the community, Lord. Pray that he is not physically incapacitated, Lord, or something else has gone wrong. But, Father, that you would bring him home safe and sound. And we do pray, Father, for how you're going to work in this situation. Lord, the rest of today we dedicate to you. And we thank you that we can be here this morning to worship you in song. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I think this is the first time we've had a responsive reading. On a Sunday morning. Are we ready for that, Keegan? Great. Okay, it's going to be worship sequence, and then two other songs. Let's stand, and we're going to do our worship sequence. You, of course, will just follow along where it says everyone, men, women, and I'll try and follow the leader. Okay. See if I can read it. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty.
The Lord is robed in majesty and in honor with strength.
The world is His firmly established. The seas have lifted up, O Lord.
The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves.
Mightier than the thunder of the great waters.
Mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty.
Your statutes stand firm. Sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with His word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes Thy glory known. And clouds and tempests flow by order from Thy throne. While all that borrows life from Thee is ever in Thy care, and everywhere that man can be, Thou God art present there. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up your banner, let the anthems ring. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He.
All creatures of our God and King.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. strong. Ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise Him, alleluia. Thou rising moon and spring's voice, ye lights of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou flowing water, pure and clear, make music for thy Lord to hear. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou fire so masterful and bright, this man both warmth and light. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And all ye men of tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. Oh, sing ye, alleluia. Ye who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and on Him cast your care. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Across the lands.
God the Father, before the world began, every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. And all creatures hold together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land and seas rejoice. You're the author of creation. You're the Lord of every man. And your cry of love rings out across the land. Yet you left the gaze of angels, came to seek and save the lost, and exchange the joy of heaven for the anguish of the cross. With the prayer you fed the hungry, with the word you calmed the sea, yet how silently you suffered that the guilty may go free. You're the author of creation. You're the Lord of every man. And you cry of love rings out across the land. With a shout you rose victorious, wrestling victory from the grave, and ascended into heaven, leading captives in your way. Now you stand before the Father. creation. You're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how great thou art. You are holy, righteous and pure and just and kind. And we thank you, Father, that you love us and you demonstrated that great love on the cross, sending your Son in our place. And we thank you for the gift of eternal life that we have received through faith in Christ and Christ alone. Thank you for this day. We pray, Father, that as you continue to bless us abundantly, we know that our blessings come from you. And we just thank you, Father, that we can give as a blessing from you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Scripture reading today will be found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 20. And please stand if you are able. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land at the place to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you are a beautiful woman in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. So say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." When Abraham entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princess of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and for her sake he dealt well with Abraham. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Abraham, Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. So Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife, take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Number 82 in your hymnals, if you want to.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the high. Sun and moon, rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise the Lord, he has spoken. Words his mighty voice obey. Truths which never shall be broken, for their guidance hath he made. Praise the Lord, for he is glorious. Never shall his promise fail. God hath made his saints victorious. Sin and death shall not prevail. Praise the God of our salvation. Most on high his power proclaim. Heaven, earth, and all creation, Lord and magnify his name. Worship, honor, glory, blessing, Lord, we offer unto thee. Pressing in glad homage, bend the knee. Long and old, my praise worthy, we would bow before thy throne. As thine angels serve before thee, so on earth thy will be done.
Well, we had a little fun there, huh? Okay, you may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who are new, I am Noah Mason, and I am the intern here at the church, and I'm filling in while Pastor Kurt is away. Today's sermon, we are going to be talking about living a Christ-centered life by not getting caught up in worldly desires and ambitions. When I was younger, my dad used to be an off-road race driver, and every summer, my family would travel around to all his races and camp at the race location. After traveling around to so many races, I started to become friends with the son of another racer. The two of us would run around exploring the camping area where all the races would set up. And we would get autographs and look for stuff people forgot in the stands or dropped under the stands. One day, when we were exploring under the stands, I saw a foam can holder, and I wanted it. But my friend had just seen it as well and picked it up for himself. Now, even though he had found it and picked it up, I still wanted it for myself. So I said, "Hey, that looks cool. Toss it over here so I can look at it." And he tossed it over to me and said, "Sure, just give it back when you're done." As soon as I had it, I bolted as fast as I could and ran back to my campsite, went into the camper, and hid the can holder. A couple minutes later, my friend showed up and was asking where I was. And I said I had taken something of his. My mom, not knowing that I actually took something, said that I wouldn't have taken from him and that he should run along. That was the last time I saw or spoke to my friend. And it was all because I was selfish and wanted a can holder. In this story, I was completely self-centered. I was only caring about my own wants and desires, and I was not concerned about how I would have to treat others in order to get what I wanted. I valued myself and my wants above my friend, and because of that, I lost that friendship and was not being Christ-like. Now, most people probably aren't desiring to have a can holder, but there are many other things that can entice people, and it doesn't even need to be something physical. People can desire attention, popularity, appreciation, and much more. Our society is rooted in self-centeredness, and social media is a perfect example of this, with people posting continuously about themselves and their lives in order to gain attention and likes. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who uses social media is self-centered, but with the wrong motives, it is a perfect tool to fall into this sin. Now, for us as Christians, we are called to live a Christ-centered life, a life that looks to bring honor and glory to God in everything we say and do. But if we are only focused on ourselves and our own desires, then we are not living a Christ-centered life. We are living a self-centered life. Now, I wouldn't be a good Moody student if I didn't quote D.L. Moody. So, D.L. Moody says, "I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness, and ambition, and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit, and ambition, and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled." So our main point this morning is that those who desire to live a Christ-centered life must set aside a self-centered life. And the scripture we'll be looking at to show this is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. And you can turn with me now. In Philippians, Paul's main theme is encouragement. He's writing to the church in Philippi and encouraging the Philippian believers to live a life that reflects Jesus' life. And he encourages them to do this as evidence of their commitment and service to God and one another. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for all you have done for us, and we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, so that we might spend eternity with you. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have here in America to gather as a body of believers and learn from your word. Lord, we ask that you speak to us today through your words. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, our main point is that those who desire to live a Christ-centered life must set aside a self-centered life. But how can we live a Christ-centered life? Based on the Philippian passage, we will focus on three ways we can be Christ-centered. The first way we can be Christ-centered is by valuing others. We value others because God values others. All people are valued by God because they are made in His image. By valuing others, we are able to show them that God values them through our actions. We value others by not thinking that they are below us, or thinking that we are better than them. We can also value others by treating them more significant than ourselves. This means sacrificing our wants and our needs for the sake of others. In our culture right now, there's a very selfish movement going on. Now, I don't think I've seen this much among men, but according to my wife, this is being pushed upon women a lot. And it is the movement of self-love. And this narrative pushes that people put themselves first and their wants and needs before anyone else's, saying that you are more important than anyone else in your life, and you need to take care of number one before you can take care of others. And that all your problems basically will be solved if you love yourself more. Within this movement, I've often seen advice saying that if there's a toxic person in your life, don't hesitate to cut them out, because you shouldn't have that person disrupting you and your life. This whole culture of self-love and me first goes against the Bible. The culture tells us to value ourselves above anyone else and act very selfishly. The Bible, however, tells us that we are to put others first and do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. We are to put others' needs before our own and not look out for ourselves above all else. And while there certainly might be a place for ending a relationship with someone because they are negatively impacting or harming you, we should stop and consider first whether we are doing this for selfish reasons, or if we should continue the relationship in order to value that person to put their needs first. The second way we can be Christ-centered is by caring for others. In our society, we tend to only look out for ourselves and ignore the interests or needs of others. Like I mentioned before, it is about self-love and me first. When we have this mindset that we are better than everyone else, we won't care for anyone except ourselves. We might care for others, but only if we get something out of it or it makes us look good. But as we see in verse 4 of Philippians 2, we are to look out for the interests of others without looking out for ourselves. So that first means we need to value them as fellow image bearers, like we said in the first point, and then we need to act upon that. It is because we value others that we should care for them. When we put the interests of others above our own, we will be encouraging and building each other up. Now, does this mean that anytime I look out for myself, I'm being self-centered? Well, in verse 4, does it say, each of you look not to his own interests? No, it says, look not only to your own interests. So like I said, our tendency is to look out for ourselves. So what Paul is saying here is that we should take that same level of care and concern for ourselves and apply it to others as well. We can do that by showing care to others through our words. For example, by encouraging them or showing interest in their lives. And we can show it through our actions by finding practical ways to serve others. Another way we can intentionally care for someone is by praying for them, whether that's with them or not. When we pray for someone else, we are forgetting about ourselves and being selfless. When we care for others and put their interests above our own, ultimately, we are putting Christ's interests first. Matthew 25:40 says, "The King, Jesus, will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me.'" Jesus is saying here that he cares for others. So when we care for others, We are following his interests. Now, if we jump ahead in Philippians chapter 2 to verses 19 through 21, verse 19, it says, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you so that I may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So we see that Timothy is unlike anyone else, in that he genuinely cares for others and doesn't put his own interests first. Therefore, he looks out for the interests of Christ. The third way we can be Christ-centered is by loving others. Love is portrayed as all happy and sweet and romantic, with no work or pain involved. This watered-down version of love is definitely not reality. Love, as described in 1 Corinthians 23, is all action and no feelings. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is not the squishy, lovey-dovey kind of love that is glorified in our culture. This kind of love is hard work and often painful, and means setting aside our own wants, needs, and feelings for the sake of others. It can be very difficult to always love others in this selfless way. Paul goes on to describe the ultimate example of selfless love in verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and of every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ Jesus humbled himself and was completely selfless. He came down to this sinful, fallen world to become a man, not for his own glory and exaltation, but out of pure love and selflessness. 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love for us was so great that he sacrificed his Son in order to save us. And Christ submitted himself to his Father's will by giving his life in order to take our punishment. This is the greatest example of love that exists. We can look to Christ's example and set aside our wants and needs for the sake of others in order to love them like Christ loved us. Now, most of you probably heard of her, but Corrie ten Boom is a perfect example of valuing and sacrificially loving others. Corrie ten Boom lived in Holland during World War II, when the Nazi authorities started to search out and capture and kill Jews. Corrie and her family hid and rescued hundreds of Jews. Corrie and her family were risking their lives every day because those that hid Jews from the Nazis would be killed. One day, after a Dutch informant told the Gestapo about what was going on at the Ten Boom's house, the Gestapo raided and arrested the entire family, along with multiple Jews that were hiding there. Corrie and her sister were taken to a Nazi concentration camp, where her sister died. Soon after that, Corrie was released. After the war, she started a rehabilitation center for those who survived the Nazi concentration camp. Throughout her whole life, Corrie pointed others to Christ. Corrie is a great example of what it looks like to live a Christ-centered life. She valued others, especially those who were viewed as being underneath everyone else. She cared for others by hiding Jews and she loved others sacrificially by putting herself in great danger so that she could meet the needs of others above her own. Now, if Corrie had not been living a Christ-centered life, hundreds of Jews would have been killed by the Nazis. She could have avoided going to the concentration camp and saved herself a lot of pain. But because Corrie lived a Christ-centered life, God used her in an incredible way by saving hundreds of people and being an example to this day. Now, those who desire to live a Christ-centered life must set aside a self-centered life. Like Corrie ten Boom, that means instead of valuing ourselves and our desires, we should value others because Christ values them. And instead of only caring for ourselves and doing only what we want, we should care about the interests of others because Christ cares for them. And finally, if we value and care for others, we should love them just like Christ loved us. Even more importantly, we do all this by following the life of Christ as an example. By becoming a man on earth, he valued, cared, and loved us by sacrificing his life on the cross to take our sin and save us from the punishment we deserved so that we can live with him in eternity. Now, as we go our separate ways this week, intentionally search out ways that you can set aside your selfish ways and replace them with Christ-centered ways by valuing, caring, and loving others as Christ loved us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for giving us your words so we can learn more of you and learn how to live a more Christ-centered life. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us continually and helps us to be more in accordance with your word. Please help us to set aside our selfish, conceited, and self-centered ways and habits and start to live a more Christ-centered life. Help us to value, care, and love others as you have loved us. And we thank you for sending your Son to save us and forgiving us from our sin so that we can live with you forever. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
We're going to do something a little different. We're going to sing out of the hymnal. We have a little time, so 508. Noah's been talking about love. 508 in your hymnal says, "Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me." Number 508, you'll need your hymnals to sing because they don't have that on the screen. 508. Let's stand and sing. "Love lifted me."
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Me when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merit my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love.
If you look in your hymnals, it's number 815. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's sing together our doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Now we'll be starting our adult Bible fellowship and Sunday school downstairs at 20 minutes after 10. You are dismissed.